Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. Your host, Bravo and Botox here, / Emily. I wanted to tell you my name. My name is Emily. I've never told it to the podcast community before or anyone because I usually stay, you know, anonymous, which I still am. But I was just like, I could share my first name because, like, why not? Right. I feel like, you know, I talked about this more in depth on my Patreon this week, but I feel more like it's more personal, you know, and with podcasting, like I think on my Instagram, who cares? But with podcasting, it's like a personal thing. You know, I'm in your ear, I'm talking to you, and I just wanted to share it with you all. So hello. Now, you know. You know, and I know I'm not the only Emily that is known in the Bravo space because there's Emily Hanks from She's Speaking. When I was on her podcast, I told this story already on the Patreon, so I'm sorry, Patreon people. But when I was on her podcast, she had to email me with like the Zoom link or whatever. So I had to give her, I gave her my email. And at that time, I didn't even have a Bravo and Botox email. So I gave her my personal email, which has the name Emily in it, obviously, because it's my name. And she was like, shut up. Like she thought I was like pranking her or something. I was like, no, that honestly is my name. So yeah, I'm the Emily of the North up here in Canada. So nice to meet you all again, just with another name. I'll probably still refer to myself as Bravo and Botox sometimes because I'm just in that habit. But okay, let's get to more important things. I know it's been a minute. So I just wanted to say happy Canada Day. So I was, you know, enjoying the long weekend at my in-laws' cottage. No, they are not fancy like Muskoka cottage people. It's a cottage east of Toronto area, pretty far east, actually. And they still, you know, lovely, lovely lake, lovely outdoor situation. But not like one of those like cottages that doesn't seem like a cottage, that's more like a mansion, definitely a cottage that seems like a cottage. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because we had a great time, except that I am scratching my leg nonstop because of the amount of mosquito bites I got. It's actually insane. They love me. They love me. They love me. They're all over me. Like from my knee to my ankle on both legs, I've got like at least 6 or 7 on each leg. And then I've got some on my hands. The ones on your hands are terrible. They're like really hard to scratch. Unfortunately, my daughter has inherited my sweet blood and they love her too. So she was like waking up in the middle of the night, like, I'm so itchy, like screaming. And I was like, okay, calm down. Let's just get the after bite, you know, put some of that on. Was reapplying it like crazy. Anyways, I'm back now. And now it is July 4th. So I have to say happy July 4th to all my American listeners out there. Did I say that today was July 4th? Today's July 3rd. I don't even know what day it is. You know, this happens sometimes like when it's like the summer long weekend type of week, you start to get confused. It's like that week between Christmas and New Year's where you're like, fuck, what day is it, guys? I'm having that moment right now. Kind of sucks that July 4th is on a Thursday. Does that mean that you guys like get Thursday off and you got to work Friday? I hope not. But maybe it's like, you know, you get the 4th off and then you just take like a long weekend, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That would be amazing. So I don't know. I don't know how you guys do it, but I hope you have a great holiday. And I hope the Canadian listeners had a good long weekend. All right, so let's get into the news. I'm going to start with Real Housewives of Atlanta today because, whoo, there's some news there. Oh my God. Okay. I saved a bunch of stuff because there were so many like little moving parts to this story. But listen, the biggest thing that came up since I've last recorded is that Kenya has been officially fired from the Real Housewives of Atlanta, which is crazy. It's like the end of an era, you know? And I saw a tweet where somebody was like, as if Candy and Kenya are now unemployed from Bravo and Phaedra and Portia are. And that in itself just kind of shows you how there's no sense to anything. Like, we don't know still exactly what Kenya did. We kind of do, but not 100%. But at the end of the day, like, Portia and Candy, and yeah, Portia, I'm going to be blaming Portia because I still to this day think that she was just as much a part of it. And I do not think she was some innocent whatever who like didn't know and just believed what Phaedra told her. I don't believe that. But anyways, the fact that, you know, they put out a rumor that Candy was going to like drug someone and assault them, like sexually assault them. And they did that. And that was like a filming thing. That wasn't off camera. That wasn't in the off season. That was like a storyline. That was a whole thing. Oh, I got to rewatch that season. That season's so good. Okay. Anyways, the fact that that was there and, you know, they didn't like, Phaedra got fired, but Portia didn't. And to me, Portia was like, I guess there was like plausible deniability with Portia, but I don't know. But Phaedra's back. Again, I mean, Portia could be back one day. Like, I guess it depends on how she handles this, you know, like if she sues or whatever. But basically the source says, we're told Kenya has not been fired. Instead, both sides have agreed she's just going to take a break from the show for now. But the door is open for a future return. However, we're also told Kenya is considering legal options at this point because she's not happy with this whole mess and how it unfolded. I mean, yeah, like I wouldn't be happy either because, okay, here's the thing. Whatever Kenya did, you know, it seems like it was sex shamey. It was, you know, wrong. Like, I do not agree with what she did. Okay. And I saw the picture floating around. I don't know if that one's real because some people say there's like a Photoshop version floating around that's like not a real version or not a real picture from the event. I'm not sure if that was the one I saw or not. I mean, the one I saw looked legit, but I don't know. Either way, it seems like whatever she did was in poor taste. Okay. And again, sex shamey. Kenya seems to be always like behind the times with that kind of stuff. I said this, I was on the Reality Is podcast this week. So it's just, it's a lot of that, right? So, you know, it's not good. She needs to kind of, I don't know, she's always had these like issues with that, you know, like with Bolo, like she was like obsessed with that. Like, oh, did someone have sex with Bolo? It's like, who cares? Like, I don't understand why it's so, like why she has this obsession with that. A part of me was reflecting, I'm like, is that because of how hard they came for her with that stuff? Like when she first came on the show, it was like, oh, you're like this, like the single woman who's like trying to steal Apollo. And then Apollo like kind of made up those lies about her. Like she was really done very dirty with that stuff. So a part of me is like, is this like a little bit of, oh, well, it happened to me. So, you know, the other new girl who comes on, you know, she's got to pay her dues or whatever. Like, is it a little bit of that? You know, and maybe the Bolo thing was just because she hated Portia. Like, I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, Portia was, I guess, in some ways, like kind of like getting on Candy and like, you know, they were sort of like giving her a hard time about being a freak that season and stuff. So it's like, maybe like in Kenya's mind, like this is just part of the game. And again, I'm not excusing it. I'm just trying to think of like where her mindset is coming from in 2024, like to not know that we've kind of moved past these things and that viewpoint and like shaming sex workers. Like it's like, I have mixed feelings about her being off the show. Like in one sense, I'm very disappointed because I think she's a fantastic housewife, a great villain. Then in another sense, like maybe it's just time. Like maybe you know, she's been on the last few seasons. The show hasn't been doing well. Like, maybe she's just lost her spark and she should just kind of be, you know, retired with like a good history of her run on the show when she was on it. Right. Like, it would have been nice if she could have ended on a high note, but I guess that ship has kind of sailed. But anyways, you know, I'm still holding out hope for this season of Atlanta. I know that sounds maybe a little bit naive and like, okay, like, you know, I don't think that's going to happen, but I just, this season just had such promise. And now I just feel like there's like a curse and all this stuff is happening, like between Simon, you know, trying to do all this legal stuff so Portia can't film in her house and all that stuff. And now this, I'm just like, oh, I just hope that they have something else. Okay. Otherwise, maybe, I don't know, maybe they need to just start from scratch like they did with Roni. Possible. I don't know. Okay. So there's a lot of unknowns still. We're going to see what happens. But, you know, Kenya's tweeted a couple things. What did she say? Okay, so this was her kind of tweet in response when the news broke. You are the best fans anyone could ever ask for, and I love you all so very much, always and forever, with a purple heart. She, you know, she's also kind of been liking and retweeting certain things that have been talking about, like how she's always made into an example and how things are unfair. There's also a blind item. I don't know if this is true, but it's obviously it's a blind item, so take it with a grain of salt. But it says that basically she's going to file a discrimination lawsuit against the network because they have done nothing to the bar star, aka Tom Sandoval, who did the same thing. In fact, his salary was doubled. So I think I may have mentioned that on the last episode, but I just wanted to bring that up again because a lot of people are citing things like that. Whitney from Southern Charm, because that was a storyline that was on the show, right? Like, he showed the naked picture of Taylor to his mom, you know, they all talked about it or whatever. Like, that was kind of you know, and then it was kind of the same situation. So, you know, where's the investigation on that? There needs to be an investigation if they're gonna have one on Kenya. Here's the other thing, is that it's just hard for me to believe that her producer and like anyone on the production team didn't have some knowledge of this stunt that she was going to pull. So I can understand from Kenya's perspective feeling a little bit like, I don't know, a little like, you guys knew I was doing this. Maybe like my producer, even like, I don't know if they egg you on. I don't know exactly what the situation is, but you know, you guys kind of let me go with this stunt, like to make good TV. And now I'm getting investigated. Right. And one of the main reasons why she might be getting investigated is may have just been because Britt, the girl, you know, in question, the newer cast member, did, I think, leak this to the press and let it get out there because she was pissed. And she was the one who started kind of like talking about these revenge porn laws, etc. So who knows? It seems like whatever it was that Kenya put out there was something that was out there, but maybe not like super easy to find. But I'm getting the impression from everything I've heard that it's not, it wouldn't technically be revenge porn, because, you know, maybe it was part of like sex work or something like that, and you know, she put it out there of her own volition. But it seems, but it doesn't matter, you know, even if it doesn't fall under the legal aspect of revenge porn, what it does fall under, and maybe it does, maybe I could be totally wrong, but I'm just saying from what I've heard, but either way, it does fall under the, like, you know, shaming sex workers. It's just, it's still not good. Basically, either way. Okay, so RHOA is, you know, they're going to have to keep on trucking. You know, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still hopeful for the next season. But there are some former Bravo employees who have some opinions on this, including Candy Burris, who says, basically, you know, she's sad about this. She says she knows Kenya goes maybe a little too far sometimes, but she says she's never known her to make up anything about anybody. So I don't know if that's like Candy saying like, okay, so she is an escort. But again, it's not about whether she is one or not. It's about like her being called that in a degrading sort of like sex shamey way, right? She basically, Candy says, you know, if there's things that are out there about you and you join a reality show, people can pull up the things you've done and share them. Okay, that is true, right? So, and again, context matters so much. Like, just say there was a scene. Again, I don't know if this happened. I'm just saying, let's just say, for instance, let's say Britt was shaming Kenya about something sex related. And then Kenya was like, well, who are you to say that? Because, you know, I heard you were an escort. Da, da, da. Would that change people's opinions if that was the context? I don't know. So it's like we need that. This is the problem when stuff like this happens, is we don't have the context and we're all just like putting the puzzle pieces together. Okay. So obviously Candy is going to defend Kenya though, because they're close friends. Right. So, you know, that does make sense. Mariah Huck from Married to Medicine says that she does believe that producers are involved, and, you know, kind of like, why is it now that everyone's getting fired or in trouble for stuff, whereas in the past they wouldn't? Well, I mean, I would say that that is partly because societal attitudes change, you know, people's perceptions about things change. People have started to learn, you know, why we shouldn't blame victims, why we shouldn't sex shame people, right? And again, those are things that in retrospect, we should have all always known. But, you know, there was a time, you know, 20, 30 years ago, even more recent, where people were still blaming victims for like sexual assault and rape, right? Like that was an attitude that a lot of people had, unfortunately. So it's like, and then nowadays, you know, and then we had like slut shaming, like that was a very common thing. Like you watch any early 2000s, like reality TV or anything, there's always someone who's getting slut shamed, a woman always, right? So, you know, it's one of those things, attitudes change, society changes, our expectations change. We hope that it's for the better, right? So that things improve. Now, Sheree also has weighed in on this as well. Sheree Whitfield was asked, you know, she was coming out of the grocery store. She had her groceries and she's looking very good. She was wearing like this like workout kind of outfit and her body's looking, Sheree's looking good. Okay. Sorry, that's off topic. I'm just saying. I kind of feel like Sheree called them though. So like, it's not like she's like in full like glam or anything, but I mean, but then on the other hand, you know, she's a public person, so she would probably not leave the house looking like totally bad. Right. But it just seems random that they happen to be in this like grocery store parking lot, but whatever. Okay. So they caught Sheree, and, you know, Sheree says she hates to see Kenya go out like this, but, you know, as an OG, it's also really hard to watch the show slowly sink the way that it is. She's not happy. She doesn't like it. And then she also made a point. So they ask her why she's not coming back. And she basically says they didn't give her enough money. I don't think that's true. I think her contract didn't get renewed, which is fine. But yeah, so I think her contract didn't get renewed and that's pretty much it. And maybe she doesn't want to admit to being fired, which is fine because nobody on Bravo wants to admit to getting fired, as we will talk about with Danielle from Summer House later. But I'm like, come on, Sheree, don't pretend that like they offered you another role and a paycheck and you said no to it, because I just don't believe that. I mean, like, how are we paying for Chateau Sheree here? Come on. Okay. I know it's not with She Buy Sheree funds. I can tell you that for sure. So yeah, we're very sad about Kenya. Even if you hate Kenya, I hope that you can recognize what she's brought to the housewives world. And I mean, just go back and watch those seasons where she came on and just like, she, you know, she's like, she's not an OG, but she is kind of an OG. She's got like an OG vibe about her, and she's just brought so many moments, and she was just great on the show. So you know, I just as like a Housewives legend, she will be missed. And we do actually have one more piece of Real Housewives of Atlanta news that doesn't have to do with this, but has to do with Miss Cynthia Bailey, particularly her ex, Peter Thomas. He is facing 5 years in prison, over $2.5 million in unpaid taxes, which is a lot. Am I surprised, though? No, because this is not Peter's first time with debt. You know, I remember Cynthia's family feeling like he was a financial, quote unquote, abuser, right? And I remember him, you know, she gave him so much money and she helped him out so much. And like the amount of like restaurants or whatever, Bar One, you know, that he's opened and closed, and like his financial issues, like they were a storyline on the show on Atlanta back in the day. So to just give a little bit more detail to this, basically between 2021 and 2023, Thomas caused Bar One Miami Beach LLC and Bar One Baltimore to collect more than $1.1 million in trust fund taxes from the wages of their employees, but Thomas did not pay over these taxes to the IRS. In total, between 2017 and 2023, Thomas caused his various businesses to fail to pay over more than $2.5 million in employment taxes, including more than $1.74 million in trust fund taxes from the wages of his employees. Okay, so instead of paying the trust fund taxes that were due, he allegedly use the money for, you know, cash, just like cash withdrawals, travel, real estate purchases, and retail purchases. So basically just living the life, right? Living the good life on the taxpayers, using taxpayer money. Well, not taxpayer money, I guess. The taxes that he, taxpayer money. Basically, he did like a social media apology and said, I've done some wrong that I have to make right. I have to stand up. I have to be accountable. I have to be responsible and I have to pay my debt. This is something that I thought I could work out, catch up on, make whole, but the hole got deeper for me. I deeply regret, and I'm saying this with all sincerity, not to make the IRS withholding tax a priority in my life with no excuses because there is none. It's the law. Okay. Well, I mean, of course he's going to say that because he's going to be very apologetic and he's going to put his tail between his legs because, quite frankly, he could face prison time. And we know he doesn't want to face prison time, obviously, because who does? Okay, so let's move on to some, where was it? Summer House news. Okay, so the reason I wanted to do Summer House next is because Ms. Danielle is out. Okay. By the way, there was somebody in my comments or my podcast reviews who said the way that I say Danielle is really annoying or I don't say it right. Listen, it's not me. This is, I don't know if it's a Canadian thing, but this is how everyone I know says it. Everyone around me my whole life. I've had friends with this name. I've never been corrected or had anyone tell me that I was saying it right. I guess they want me to say it with more of a Dan yell and I was saying Danielle. I don't know. The point is that we do not all sound the same or have the same accents or et cetera. So, you know, I'm doing my best here. Give me a break. Okay. So Danielle says, hello, my sweet loves, which that's okay. That's a lot. I wanted to share that I've come to the heartbreaking decision to not return as a full-time cast member on the upcoming season of Summer House. Obviously, this decision didn't come without a tremendous amount of thought. Ultimately, I just need to trust my gut. I don't think it came with any thought. I think you had no choice in it. I think Bravo also didn't put a lot of thought into it because I think you made it pretty easy for them. Okay, then she continues to say, if I can't put 100% of myself into filming genuinely and authentically, it really doesn't feel right doing it in a full-time capacity. The network production, my cast, and especially all of you deserve that. Right now, I need to protect and prioritize the things that matter most to me, my company, my people, and of course, myself. I'm so grateful that NBCU/Bravo and Truly Original Family understand this and have supported whatever decision I chose to reach. Oh, they support it, baby. I was fortunate enough to be able to take a step back season four as well, and it ended up working out better than I imagine. Girl, okay, let's stop with the bullshit. You did not take a step back season four. You were fired, and you're not taking a step back now. It's fine, though. People get fired from Bravo all the time. It doesn't mean that they'll never be back. It doesn't mean that you're a failure in life or anything. It might just mean that, you know, reality TV is just not for you right now, right? However, you know, I get it. They're in like a public kind of thing. So, you know, admitting you got fired is going to be hard. I love when they admit it. I really do. Like when Tamara admitted it, when she got fired and she was like, I got fired and I hate it and I want my job back. I was like, yes, thank you. Even Vicky kind of did that. Who else admitted they got fired? Oh, I can't think of anyone right now, but I appreciate it. Even if I don't like the people and I think they deserve to get fired from the show, I appreciate when people are just honest about it. Because it's like we know we're not dumb. And sometimes you can tell when someone has really stepped away versus when they've been fired. It's usually pretty obvious. You know, she says, however, I'm involved this summer. You can bet I'll be rooting for another incredible season from my Summer House fam. My goodness, season 9, you guys. Best of luck and sending so much love. Okay. So I think it is a nice statement. I will say that. Like, I think it's, you know, it's gracious, it's positive. I give her credit for, like, it doesn't sound bitter or anything like that. And I give her credit for, like, still being supportive of the show, her cast members, production, all that kind of stuff. I think that's the right way to go. And again, I think she's going that way because she wants to come back one day. Because again, she wasn't fired. Like, I just don't believe that. I, you know, there's going to be no better press and no better, you know, exposure for her app and her business. Plus, like, I'm not getting the impression that she's making so much money off this app right now, you know, from what I've seen. And what other income does this girl have? Like, I just, it seems like nothing, right? And from everything I've heard, the app is a shit show. So, you know, it's like, okay, not that I want her app to not be successful. I wish her all the best, but it's like, it's just, you're not going to be turning down a 6-figure paycheck. You're just not. Like, you live in New York City in like one of the most expensive cities in the world. Like, it's just, you're quote unquote CEO of a startup. And, you know, it takes a while for things like that to start making money, especially the type of money that you can actually like live off of and be okay off of. So yeah, Danielle really did this to herself. She put herself on an island. I went into like a big kind of detailed analysis of it on the Patreon, but to give you kind of an overview, she isolated herself from her two friends on the show, Carl and Lindsay. And then when Carl and Lindsay made up, she's sort of like kind of in the middle of the two of them, not like super close with either of them. And then also, you know, the Mean Girls, you know, Paige and all them kind of used her just because they wanted to go against Lindsay, and then they were done with her, so they threw her out in the garbage and that was it, right? And now she's by herself. She also screwed herself over with Paige and them because she started like going in after Paige with that whole Craig thing. So, you know, she really did this to herself. And it was like, by the end of this reunion from this last season, she had no one, you know, and like, it's hard to feel bad for her because she really did it to herself. So, you know, she played it all wrong. She should have, you know, probably stuck by Lindsay the whole time. And to be honest, whether you like Lindsay or not, she is the star of the show. And I think if she'd stuck by her, she'd probably at least have a role this next season. I'm just saying, okay? Now, in other news, it seems the rest of the cast is returning, including Carl and Lindsay, and they're going to be filming together, and we are all very excited because we all love mess, of course. Listen, I think it's going to be a good season because there's just so many loose ends and I can't wait. There are so many good things going on. We've got like Carl and Lindsay, exes in the house. Now we've got that whole like lover boy versus spritz with Craig and Kyle. And Kyle has talked some shit about like Paige on her podcast. I think like Paige is going to be like, fuck you, Kyle. And I think Kyle's going to be like, screw you. And I think Paige and Sierra already hate Kyle anyways, because they don't like how he treats Amanda. So I think we already, you know, this is just like the icing on the cake for them. And I hope it's going to be like full blown, you know, the war, you know, for the sake of the show, obviously, right? And then the other thing that we've got going on is the Amanda and Kyle of it all. So I think we've got a lot going. Like, I think it's going to be good. I'm very excited. And I'm happy that some of those conflicts that I just named do not necessarily involve Lindsay. Like, yes, there's her dealing with Carl. But what I need, because we always get this like gang up, which I think everyone's getting really sick of, where it's like, you know, everyone versus Lindsay. And we did have a break from it last season. However, then it came out full force during the reunion. So I was like, fuck, I really don't want to watch another season of that. It's repetitive. It's tiresome. It's annoying. It's just not good entertainment. However, with all these other dynamics shifting and all this other stuff happening, I actually think that we might get something else and I'm excited for it. So looking forward to Summer House as usual. I'm always excited for Summer House. I'm a big Summer House fan. You know, that show really like, that show just, you know, when you first watch it, you're kind of like, what is this? When it first came out, I remember I wasn't a huge fan of it. I was kind of like, what, they're trying to be VPR in their own way. It's not good. But I'm fully, fully, fully invested and addicted to this group of people. And I love hating some of them. I love loving some of them. And even the ones I love, I hate. So it's just, it's good. Okay, so we have a little bit of Vanderpump Rules news. Nothing crazy big, but I did want to mention this because I got more DMs about it than like anything in a really long time on my Instagram. So I posted this to my story. So it was people responding to the DM. But basically, so Sheena had Denise Welch, one of the quote unquote loose women hosts on her podcast. And Denise said she has noticed that America is team Ariana, but the UK is team Sheena/Lala. So I posted the clip on my Instagram story at Bravo and Botox. And oh my God, did all my UK people respond? Listen, I knew it was bullshit, right? I was just sharing the clip because it's Vanderpump Rules news. But the amount of DMs I got from people in the UK being like, absolutely fucking not. We are not team Lala Sheena. Like, they were just like, and it was people who were like, every single person I know is team Ariana. Da-da-da. I was like, love it. I love this. Cause who said that? Like, not to like I sound like Portia right now, but I'm just like, who said that there's a different, like, I think you're going to get some Sheena Lala people maybe anywhere you go, but like, come on. Like, I know there are differences in culture and things like that, but this is just like basic morality, right? And I'm sorry, you know, I have a lot of followers and listeners from the UK, and I have never heard any of them say anything like pro Lala and Sheena or come out in defense of them. Like, I read the comments, it's people from all over, like, give me a break. And of course Sheena would have someone on her podcast who would like defend this and like try to make her feel better and coddle little Sheena, right? Like, it's just, anyways, the comments on the post were hilarious too. If you, it's on at Bywig Hello Drama. So if you go to her post where she posted the clip, like, there's, it's just hilarious. There's like hundreds of comments from people in the UK saying like, hell no. So I just want to tell all of you, my UK listeners and followers, I hear you. I believe you. You are seen and you are heard. And we are not falling for Sheena and what's her name? Denise Welch. We are not falling for their BS. And then somebody said something about Denise Welch being like, is it Welch? No, Welch. Yeah. About her being like having some relation to the guy that Taylor Swift dated for a hot minute, Matty Healy, who's like apparently like a gross person from everything I've heard. So yeah, like, why do I care about this woman's opinion? I have no idea who she is, by the way. I just want to say that right now for the record. I've never heard of the Loose Women podcast. I don't know any about that, anything about any of that. But from my only impression is you need to stop speaking on behalf of, like, you know, an entire group of countries, because it's not going to turn out well for you. Okay, next we have some Real Housewives of Orange County news. So Shannon Bedore has finished her court-ordered community service that she was required to complete following her DUI arrest last year. Congrats, I guess. Like, what do you say? Okay, good job, Shannon. Like, yeah, please don't do that again, because it's not good. Not good at all. But basically, she got her 40 hours of community service in. She was working at a nonprofit organization for 4 days a month. She finished on June 13th, a month ahead of her July 16th deadline set by the court. If we remember, she was sentenced to 36 months of informal probation. She had to pay a series of fines. She was ordered to complete the 40 hours of community service and a 9-month alcohol education class as a result of her arrest. Okay, so she pleaded no contest to one count of driving under the influence. Okay, so yeah, I can't believe that this was last year. Like, I know it's just crazy. We're 6 months into 2024 already. And it's also crazy that, you know, it's like Shannon has already wrapped up her DUI thing, because I mean, this is the crazy thing about being a reality star, is that it's like in real life, she did it. She got caught and had all the consequences all over, you know, the police law consequences, but then also like social media and everybody talking about it, etc. And now she's done the community service and the probation and all that kind of stuff, and she's wrapping it up, and now it's like time to relive it all again. Like, that's the crazy thing. Like, listen, I'm not here feeling sympathy. That was her own fault. I'm just saying that it is weird in the lives of reality stars how they go through something and then it's like they have to go through it all over again. Like, it's really wild. So sorry, Shannon. I know it's over, but it's like not over, you know, because you're going to have to now, you know, the fans are going to see it unfold and, you know, people are going to have reactions to things that she says and does in relation to it. And she's going to have to respond to that and deal with it. Not to mention the reunion. And, you know, Tamra is not going to be letting up on this. So speaking of Tamra, Jeff Lewis was on Watch What Happens Live, and he was basically saying to Andy that they took away all of Shannon's allies on RHOC, and he kind of feels bad for her this season because she has no one. And then Tamra responded to the clip. This was on at Bywig Hello Drama again. Hey, Bywig Hello Drama, how's it going? Okay, so anyways, come on, Jeff. You know that's not true. Taylor was her friend, but the second Taylor was fired, Shannon stopped speaking to her. Sound familiar? Vicky hasn't been full-time in years. I was her friend, but you will see what she did to me. Shannon is not, in capital letters, not the victim. Sorry, I screwed up reading that a bit, but yeah, so Tamra's out there. She's making sure we know that, you know, Shannon's going to play victim this season. She's going to cry. She's going to act like we're all ganging up on her. She wants us in the audience to know that, right? You know, Tamra's building her storyline. Listen, hate or love Tamra, you know, she's a good housewife. She knows what she's doing, okay? She breathed life back into this franchise. And look, she's so good at planting seeds ahead of time. And she's also good at taking hate from people and just kind of like dusting it off. Like, she's just like, keeps going. Like, she's like a Kenya in that she can be the villain and she can take it, right? Like, she can deal with it. She can deal with everything that comes at her with people online, etc. And, you know, she owns it pretty well. even though, yes, do they play victim, the two of them? Absolutely. But all good villains do that. They play villain, but they can also handle, like, they don't let the social media part and the fan stuff, they don't let it destroy them. And they also don't let it change who they are on the show and the way that they operate. Whereas a lot of other housewives nowadays, like, you know, they'll course correct, right? And they'll start just like being a fake version of themselves, or, you know, whatever the case is, because, you know, they're trying to do what they think the audience wants. They don't want to get all that hate again. They're scared, whatever. Like, they just really don't make housewives like Tamara and Kenya these days. They just don't make them like that anymore. That's just my opinion. Okay. Sorry, I got off topic with my little rant there. But anyways, Tamara's getting ready. This is going to be a good season. I am very excited. So excited, as I'm sure we all are. And I'm sure as it comes out, there's going to be lots of juicy news for me to cover here. Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey. So allegedly, on July 15th, according to RHONJ_obsessed, which is Jack, who is, I have found to be a reliable source for the most part. Hey, Jack. Okay, so on July 15th, I always say, hey, just in case they're listening, you never know. They're probably not, but, you know, I'd be very flattered if any of these people were. On July 15th, the alternative reunion will be filmed. The two sides will watch the finale scenes at Rails separately and provide commentary. Wow, Bravo. Literally no one asked for that, and it sounds terrible. I have no interest in it. So, like, I can't even talk right now. We have already seen their perspectives and their sides of the story, the two sides. That's what the whole season is. The confessionals, talking shit about each other, etc. And now we have to sit and watch them rewatch and tell us their sides of the story again. Isn't that like an after show? Which, like, is anyone going to watch an after show of Jersey? I don't think they are. Jersey is so, like, it's so divided. There's not even any point in hearing the two sides. Like, you know what they're going to say. You know what their perspective is. It's just like, I just don't think this is useful to anyone. I just don't see any point to this. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. I mean, well, okay, who am I kidding? I'm going to watch it. But anyways, in another Real Housewives of New Jersey news item, Danielle Cabral speaks out following the altercation she had with Jen Aiden. Basically, she says in an Instagram post, it's really hard for me to say that I'll miss her all that much. But as they say on Broadway, the show must go on. And then she tags Countess Luann for whatever reason, I guess, because Luann, I don't know, does cabaret? Is that okay? She says, for a year, we sat back in silence as the lies spread like wildflower, hit after hit, lie after lie. But we held on to our truth and we knew our day was coming. The lies are always loud. The truth is always silent. Silence is powerful. Violence is never the answer. However, in all fairness, I did say the last person you want to mess with is me, with a bunch of E's. Trust me when I tell you, Tulum was the tip of the iceberg. Okay, so I get what she's saying, because everybody was trying to, like, she was getting blamed. Like, for the last year, people are like, oh, Danielle hit Jen in the side of a head with a glass. And, you know, the story was being spun, and this was my understanding too, as though, you know, Danielle lost her temper, hit Jen. We did not know about the push, okay? And we didn't know what order things happened in. So that I can give her. What I can't give her is, it wasn't a complete lie. Like, you did punch her in the side of the head with the glass. That hit her in the side of the head, whatever you want to call it. That is true. I'm not saying you didn't have the right to do it. She put her hands on you first. Jen initiated it. I do think in the fight, it's Jen's fault. But you still did hit her. Like, that part's true. But yes, you did not started and you did react to being pushed. So that is important context. Just like I said earlier when I was talking about Kenya, context is important, right? Either way, you know, Danielle's reaction was still to the push was still pretty wild and big. And Jen shouldn't have pushed her. Like, they are both wrong and they're both idiots. Okay. Especially when you think of what they're fighting about, it was so stupid. Okay. So in other Real Housewives of New Jersey news, Danielle Staub claims that Margaret Joseph hired girls to create 275 fake accounts and go after people on social media amid drama with New Jersey co-stars. So Danielle came out, she did like a, you know, like an Instagram video of herself. And she said that basically when her and Margaret were friends, Margaret told her that she hired girls to create over 200 fake accounts and go after people on social media. So basically that she uses them to attack people on social media. And she said Margaret specifically attacked her and Siggy Flicker at the time. Do I believe this? Yes. Do I believe it was 275? I don't know. Do I believe that other cast members have also done this? Also, yes. I do kind of think that Marge is the one who's sort of like, you know how they say like, oh, this housewife was the first one to bring glam. Like, Marge was kind of the first one who was really like utilizing social media and stuff to her advantage. And she kind of made that a, like, I know that they always did. They all tweeted, they all did stuff, emailed each other, whatever the fuck, right? I just mean that it seems like when Marge came on, that was when there was a little bit of a turn, like towards more discussion on the show of the quote unquote bloggers. Like, that became like a bigger thing and it almost took on like a life and an entity of its own, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger. So again, I don't know for sure that Marge quote unquote started it, but what I do know is that it seems to be a thing that she does, you know, and now it seems to be overall something that they're all doing, right? I mean, like, look at it on Salt Lake City. It was like Monica's full storyline. Okay, so let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which we haven't had a lot of news from because, you know, the show's been on pause, not pause, but, you know, we're between seasons. And there's been little tidbits, though, floating around, mostly about Dorit and Kyle. And apparently Dorit and Kyle are not getting along. There was, like, you know, some camera footage, like cell phone camera footage of Dorit and Kyle arguing at an event where they were filming. I've heard rumors that Dorit is done filming, that she's like did like, I don't know, she filmed for a while and then she basically quit and she's done with it. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that. Now, another blind item that's been floating around, again, it's a blind item, so take it with a grain of salt, but it says at this point, the snack housewife, I guess Doritos, very clever, has to be upset she decided to come back. She is just being hammered by everyone during filming, especially by the woman who thinks the snack was hooking up with her ex. Okay, so Kyle and Dorit. So it's revealed that that is who it's about. Again, anybody could write that blind. Anyone could make that up just based on like the rumors that we see online, based on like, you know, audience projections and audience being like, oh, look, she's flirty with Mauricio, whatever. Do I think, though, that there's some truth to, like, you know, everyone coming after Dorit? Yeah, I do. Because, listen, Kyle was not happy with her at the end of the last season, especially after she shared that text, which, by the way, I'm still on Dorit's side about that. But secondly, Dorit didn't really have anybody else. Like, I guess she kind of had Erica, but not really. And I think Erica still leans more towards Kyle because I think Kyle has more power, you know, in the Beverly Hills show world. And then obviously Garcelle, Sutton, Crystal. I know Crystal's off the show, but they all think Dorit's annoying. Like, I just don't think they like her. Yeah, so I just don't think Dorit has anybody. But I also think she can't really or couldn't really say no to the show because, I mean, look at her financial life and her marriage, right? Like, her and PK are separated. This guy's obviously got addiction issues, and it seems like one of those addictions. I'm speculating, but I do get the impression that there may be a gambling problem with all the money. I mean, I think it's safe to say when someone owes $2 million to a casino, right? So there's that. Plus, he's also admitted he's been sober for a while now. So, you know, off drugs, alcohol, whatever. I saw a picture of him recently with Mauricio. He's lost a lot of weight. Again, I don't know if it's because he's gotten sober, which could be it. That does happen. People get sober, they get in shape, whatever. Good for him. I don't know if he's on Ozempic. Either way, good for him. It doesn't matter. He obviously, you know, he was like pre-diabetic or he had diabetes. I can't remember which, but, you know, he needed to get that together. So I'm glad he's sober, glad he's doing better, and I hope he is. You know, and there's that, like, I think there's that hopeless romantic inside all of us who's like, oh, maybe they'll work it out. And because, you know, when they were happy, they seemed really happy. Do I think, you know, that PK is like a great guy or whatever? No. But I also don't think like Dorit's that great either. So, and at the end of the day, they do have kids. Ugh. So I hope, though, it seems like they'll probably stay divorced because that's usually, or get divorced because that is what usually happens when people separate. So I just hope that they can be amicable. Because I just love their kids. Their kids are so sweet. And they're just, oh, we've watched them grow up on the show. You know, it's like, oh, you just feel bad for them. And yeah, I hope that they can have like, I hope Dorit and PK can have like a friendship after. They kind of give me those vibes. Like, I think they've maybe fallen out of love or they've lost something between the two of them in their relationship. But I hope they don't like hate each other as people, or if they do, I hope they can eventually move past it and have like a good, you know, ex type of like friendship, you know, like an amicable thing, you know, conscious uncoupling or whatever the hell it's called. Okay. So we've got that. What else do we have in Beverly Hills news? I feel like I had something else. Oh yes. So Tom Girardi, just when we think we're done with Tom Girardi. Well, we didn't really think we were done, but there's still more to the story. Basically, prosecutors say that he used client money to fund his wife's entertainment career. Are they talking about prosecutors or Bravo Twitter? Because that's been everywhere. But listen, the reason that this is news is because, you know, this directly ties Erica into it. Okay. And this is federal prosecutors now, you know, not just like at Bravo Lover 5362 on Twitter, right? This is actual prosecutors revealing that they actually intend to introduce key evidence. Okay. That the former attorney spent more than $25 million of client and law firm money on the career of his reality TV star wife. Okay. So, you know, we know the law firm, formal chief financial officer was accused of stealing, you know, $15 million from several clients in this like scheme that went on for years, right? But this is new because it's specifically geared towards EJ Global LLC, okay? Which means that like the $25 million was used, basically diverted to cover the illegitimate expenses of Erica Jane's company. Okay. And he formed that company to fund her entertainment career, right? So they say they have this evidence. Okay. And they say that Tom Girardi like knowingly and intentionally funneled payments sourced from client funds for the improper personal enrichment of his family members. Now they didn't name Erica Girardi by name as like an individual family member. They didn't accuse her of specific wrongdoing, nor did they accuse her of knowledge that he did this. So that's the key thing. Okay. But still, you know, that does kind of show, here's the thing, that shows that Erica needs to take a little bit more, she needs to have a little bit more remorse and take a little bit more blame for the whole situation. Cause she's still floating by on this, like, you know, I didn't know, number one, and number two, I'm a victim. I don't really owe the victims, you know, an apology because we don't know if the money that was given to me was, you know, their money or Tom's money or exactly what money it was. Like, she is still riding that wave. Okay. So that's why I'm like, if they can prove, even listen, I don't know if they'll ever be able to prove that Erica knew, probably not. But if they can at least prove that it was used specifically for her company, then yeah, that would be good. Because that would, you know, maybe force her to put her tail between her legs a little bit. And her whole like show she put on, like meeting with the victims or whatever that was, like in her special, that was all bullshit. I'm sorry. And the whole thing that came out with that fashion designer that she screwed over, like if you forgot what a terrible person she was, like just go watch The Housewife and the Hustler part two, where they go into all the detail of her with that, you know, costume designer that she royally screwed over, and you will fully remember what a piece of shit she is. Okay. Okay. Do we have any other news? Oh, yes. I should have said this before, but I just wanted to add that Kyle Richards did say that things are not good in her friendship with Dorit as they're filming. She also named Dorit and Sutton specifically when discussing a change in friendships. So sorry, I forgot to mention that before. I just wanted to put that in before I end off with who am I ending off with? Oh yeah, Roni. So it's been a while since we've had some Roni news too. I'm actually really excited for the new Roni season because I love like hating that show. I love, you know, hating on Bryn because, you know, she got all mad at me in my DMs last season. So let's do it. But like, you know, in a fun way. Okay. I'm not actually, I don't actually hate her or anything. But I do like, I am going to be looking. I'm going to be watching closely. Okay. What do you do for a living? I'm going to be watching that. There's still a lot of contradictions. So I'm just curious. That's all I'm saying. Okay. But it seems that a Black queer model and art curator, Raquel Chevremont, is joining Roni. Woo. And it's funny because Jessel commented on it and was like, oh my God, she is. Yeah. Or like something like that. And it was really funny. I shared it on my Instagram story. But yeah, so we have her. And then we also have Rebecca Minkoff, who, if you forgot, Sai got caught on a hot mic on Jeff Lewis's podcast or radio show, sorry, saying that Rebecca Minkoff was like pretty boring so far. Maybe that's why they're bringing in this girl. Right? Right? Okay. Not only, you know, she seems like somebody who's like, you know, a name that's known in New York and all that, and like someone cool to have on the show. But on top of that, maybe Rebecca Minkoff is not bringing it, right? So we shall see. And God knows those women need help unless they've like really done a 180 from last season. I mean, I still enjoyed last season, I have to be honest. Was it great? No. It was okay. Let's be real. It was okay. But I saw potential and I see potential. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I am hopeful. And I do think, and I live by this, you've got to give new shows at least 3 or 4 seasons. Look at Salt Lake City. I mean, look at, like, Salt Lake City was pretty good right away. To me, it didn't get great though until like this last season. I even thought the season with Jen Shah getting arrested wasn't very good. The only reason it survived, or that people kind of assumed it was great, was because we had like a federal arrest on camera. But really overall, the season was kind of lackluster, actually. Anyways, just my opinion. Also, Kelly Bensimone called off her wedding in OG Roni news. She was supposed to get married to Scott Littner, who she'd spoken about when she was on Ultimate Girls Trip, but she called it off 4 days before the ceremony, which is pretty wild. So yeah, I guess he was the one who, like, you know, maybe knew like hockey players or whatever. And Luann was like, you gotta take me to, I need want to meet the hockey players or whatever. It's like, not anymore. You're gonna have to go to those hockey games, just you and Kelly. She may not have the contacts anymore now that she broke up with Scott, or she probably does. She knows lots of people, but I wonder what happened there. I'm very curious. Like, to call off your wedding 4 days before, something fucked up must have happened. like she caught him cheating, or I don't know, like something crazy had to have happened. Because 4 days is like we thought 2 months was pretty wild with Carl, but this is 4 days. This is like, damn, 4 days is like everybody's flying in. You're having a rehearsal dinner. Like, geez. Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Sorry, it's been a little bit of break between episodes. It's just crazy. We've had the long weekend, all that stuff. I'm getting back on my regular cadence, my regular rhythm. Okay, so you can expect episodes every Friday starting next week. And again, you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.